This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to have a new partner in with us. Three Aspens Regenerative Medicine. They're located at 6660 Timberline Road in Highlands Ranch. Their number, 303-683-4000. Again, 303-683-4000. And glad to have in studio today Dr. Melanie Bond. Nice to see you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate it.
And Caitlin Ornis. And Caitlin is the Chief Administrative Office Guru, manager, runs everything, right, Caitlin?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but thanks for having us today.
No, hey, I'm excited. This has been a little while in coming. We met a little while back last year and kind of talked about some things, and timing worked out now to get this going. So we are glad to have you guys in with us today and looking forward to all of our shows. So let's start, Dr. Melanie Bond, as I mentioned, a founder and CEO. So let's first, start with a little bit of your background, how you got into doing what you're doing, and then how Three Aspens Regenerative Medicine came about.
Absolutely. So I went to medical school in the great state of Oklahoma and grew up there, and went to Michigan for training. I did residency there. Got board certified in emergency medicine and actually moved to Colorado because of the over 300 days of sunshine here. Yeah. That drew me very strongly, actually. And so I moved here in about 2005 and ended up working at Swedish Hospital. And I've since worked at multiple hospitals, clinics, family care clinics as well, urgent cares, standalone emergency rooms. And I also have been a part of the teaching at Rocky Vista University in Parker. There are principles of clinical medicine courses. I help teach medical students there and test them as well.
So is our medical care getting better from when you started, or is our medical attention suffering some?
I think there are some challenges that have occurred over time, and I think that they can be overcome in a lot of positive ways, actually. And I think one of those ways is trying to get back to the physician-patient relationship, which has kind of fizzled out over time.
And nowadays, and, you know, I think insurance dictates a lot of different things, but now, you know, you rarely get to see your primary care doctor sometimes, or some specialist, you'll see their assistant, and nothing wrong with that, because I mean they went to school too and they know what they're doing. But a lot of times, I mean, I've had friends and myself too that, you know, well, I made the appointment with a doctor, not their assistant, you know what I mean? And nothing against the assistant, but I want to see the doctor. And and then, boy, the few minutes of time you get, you know, it's just, boy, seems like it's just.
And yes, absolutely. Physicians are being told to see 20 patients, 30 patients, 40 patients a day. I mean, and this, I just heard a internal medicine physician say the other day to a friend of mine that they scheduled her for 40 telemedicine patients in a short period of time. And, you know, telemedicine is new for some docs.
Sure.
And so their presumption is, oh, you know, you're only going to need 15 minutes per patient, or even less, right? I mean, if you're seeing 40 patients at 15 minutes each, that's, you know, where's lunch and bathroom break in there? And also, where is high quality care when you're being rushed? And so that's a concern for sure. We want to make that better.
Absolutely. Once again, it's Three Aspens Regenerative Medicine. They're located at 6660 Timberline Road in Highlands Ranch, kind of that Quebec-Lincoln area. 303-683-4000 is the number. So how did Three Aspens, what's the meaning behind the name of Three Aspens?
Yes, well, I wanted something to reflect Colorado, and I didn't want to use the name Colorado because we plan on expanding out of state, but I wanted everybody to know that when they hear that name, it should trigger you know, Aspen, Colorado, aspen right. trees make me think of Colorado.
Okay, cool.
That's where that came from.
Right, good deal. All right, and Caitlin Ornis, as I mentioned, she is with us as well, and she is the is it CAO? Would that be the right deal? Chief Administrative Officer.
You know, I that's what I make my kids call me. No, I'm just kidding. Ultimately, my training started back in radiology, and I got the pleasure of working alongside Dr. Bond in a different clinic setting where, like she had mentioned, very fast-paced, which is fun. It's an adrenaline rush, but however, you see timeless or you see countless amount of patients that are really just not getting that one-on-one care. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that leads to missing things, mistakes, and ultimately could have a very bad outcome. Now, when I've always wanted to go back for nursing school, and I have stayed in touch with Dr. Bond over the years. And once I went back for nursing school, I saw this opportunity to be in a clinic atmosphere that really centered around patient care. We cut out insurance companies. We cut out all the bureaucratic red tape and allow us to give wonderful bedside care, time with patients to really get to know them, not only on a medical, you know, in reviewing charts and their diagnoses, but their family, their friends, the holistic part of a patient that makes it up. I think over time we were really getting frustrated, and it was sad, to say the least, to see countless different stories of patients that really, you know, you're told one thing that could help you, but if it's not within your financial means or you don't know the whole person, it really does no good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really good opportunity and absolute pleasure to work alongside with Dr. Bond, who does have this Western medicine training, but now is starting to integrate some more, you know, out of the box thinking approaches for patient care. And to be a part of that, and hopefully in my career time, this be the shift as patients are getting more and more savvy. They're advocating for themselves, which is absolutely outstanding, because it really does take a healthcare team to give the best outcome. And I know Dr. Bond is being, she doesn't want to boast or brag, but really when she came into this and she had mentioned this years ago, it really was on the journey of finding a solution for a good friend who, like many, have stories, whether themselves or family members, I hate to use the word failed, but really was failed by the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. This particular person had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And unfortunately, in her story, it did not end well, but in her legacy, I think Three Aspens is gonna prove that patient care does still exist. There are still healthcare professionals that would do anything and everything in their power to at least present options to patients and their family that otherwise would be very hopeless.
Right. So now when we talk about regenerative medicine, that seems to have really come up over the last, you know, what, 8-10 years more
mm-hmm.
or so?
Yes.
So when we talk about regenerative medicine, what are we really talking about?
So it encompasses a large array of different therapeutic approaches, but our approach really focuses more on using your own biologic products, okay. you know, from your own body instead of using some from another person, essentially. And so that could be anything from blood product to adipose product to bone marrow product, using those cells and other molecules that we extract. And putting them back into you for purposes which are multiple, but this whole field is kind of in a transition right now, and so there's a lot of talk on media about things being FDA approved or not FDA sure. approved and this sort of thing. But it's believed amongst a certain group of individuals that are practicing regenerative medicine that you should have the right to use your own cells for mm-hmm. purposes that you desire.
Right. And I think, you know, most of us are just tired of going to your doctor, here's the pill for it, or here's the yes. surgery for it, or there's nothing we can do. It's usually one of those three answers. And, you know, there are answers out there. You just got to find out the reason of, you know, why something's happening with you and try to find that root cause. And right. then how do you go about helping that root, you know, fixing it?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that everyone should have the ability to research that on their own and come to their own conclusions, dependent upon, you know, all of the angles that they've approached it with, to find out more.
Right. Now, 3 aspects of regenerative medicine on your website. I was reading some things this morning. It says multimodality treatment approach.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
So biologic therapies are one of several things that we can offer our patients. So other things include hormone optimization. Because if you think about it, if you're older,
which I am guilty of, yes.
Then you will probably notice that whether you're male or female, that certain processes that used to happen really easily and naturally aren't happening so easily and naturally anymore. And so amongst those are your hormone levels actually decrease. And so what happens as a manifestation of that is you start noticing certain symptoms and longer recovery times from workouts and maybe not having the energy to do the things after work, like maybe work out, you know, if you wanted to exercise. Mentally you want to, but physically you don't. And there's a whole multitude of things that that encompasses. And so if you think about giving somebody biologic therapy for, let's say, a knee problem, but yet here they're having low testosterone issues, then they're probably not going to respond as good as if they had optimized, you know, their environment and then administered the biologics. And this just, to me, makes common sense.
No, absolutely. So, Kayla, when we talk about hormone therapy, I think a lot of times men will say, oh, I don't have to listen there because that's not me. That's always women. And I was talking with you guys the other day. That's not necessarily true, is it?
Absolutely. You know, one of
men can be hormonal, right?
you know, we both men and women on a molecular level, there's so many different processes that happen. And one of those catalysts are hormones. And we both know men and women need them. And like you said, both men and women do start depleting as they age. And it's funny you say that, not only with men, a lot of the times when we do events out in the community, you know, you hear hormone replacement, you think menopause, you think older woman, menopause, grandma, that's not me, I'm not listening. Now, but when we're talking, you know, loss of muscle mass, fatigue, you are, you know, maybe when you worked out in your 20s, 30s, you got bulked up and now you're doing twice the work and you can't seem to get the results. And that's when I start seeing male patients' ears perk up a little bit. And it's extremely common. Day in and day out, we hear this from both men and women of all age groups. It is not necessarily, you know, just a menopause treatment. It's your firefighters down the street. Mm-hmm. I've visited with them several times. A lot of them have noticed because of chronic stress, their natural hormone production, particularly testosterone, is actually lowered. Now, this can cause a multitude of side effects, as Dr. Bond had mentioned, as they manifest into loss of muscle mass. Well, we all know firefighters need muscle mass. Sure. They need to be able to concentrate. The fatigue is not an option on a 24-hour shift. And so I think many of our male patients are surprised to hear that their symptoms are not alone. It's not necessarily that, you know, what you had pictured 60s, 70s. It's earlier and earlier. And a lot of men, when you start talking to them, they have very common side effects that are all across the board. And so it's kind of a pleasure to get to treat all of these different age groups and, you know, both male and female, and to see the results are just outstanding.
Right. Are there some common stories that you hear, you know, every day of people that walk in your clinic and why they're there?
Absolutely. And I'm going to go with what everybody is going through right now is chronic stress. Now, with my age group, again, I'll use myself as an example. When I hear hormone replacement, I think menopause. No, I'm way too young for that. There's no way. You start listing off some of these symptoms and you're thinking, well, hey, hold on a minute. I am very fatigued. I am dragging. I used to be able to go home and play with my kids after work. And this is very common. There's actually not a single person I have talked to in the last 2 months that cannot empathize with that. Now, we all know, like I said, chronic stress will actually deplete your normal hormone production. Nowadays, with, you know, my age group and being a female, we're taking on roles of working full-time, mothering full-time, partnering full-time, and now we've added on teaching full-time. Now, and I just want to relay to these patients, they're not alone. This is what I'm hearing every day, all day. And it's even more interesting where it starts with a simple blood test, and who'd have thought? All of a sudden, you get their results back, and their hormone levels are completely depleted. Right. And so it makes sense that they would manifest in these ways. And absolutely, all day, every day, both personally and professionally, I hear that.
3 Aspens Regenerative Medicine. Once again, if you're just joining us, they're located at 6660 Timberline Road in Highlands Ranch. Their number, 303-683-4000. And 3aspens.com. And just write out the number 3, T-H-R-E-E, aspens.com. And you guys, we can kind of make this a roundtable discussion, but let's talk about the first time, somebody comes in. It's always weird. We've all been that first time patient. You don't know what to expect. We don't know what the doctor looks like. We don't know what they're going to sound like. And that's one thing great about the show, because when people hear you and then they call, they're like, oh, you look like I thought you would, or you don't look like anything I thought you would. But it kind of is an icebreaker a little bit. But so let's just talk about that initial consultation. They call and they say, hey, I don't know what I need even. I just know I need something. But what does that initial consultation look like?
So the first step is we have a conversation. Before we have a conversation, we want to see what your blood test shows. So I know that makes people a little squeamish, just the thought of, hey, I'm going to say hi, and then I'm going to get some blood out of you. But
and what do you normally run as far as like different panels? I mean, what are you kind of running when you say a blood test?
So we run one of the most comprehensive metabolic hormone panels that I have seen so far. Now, we test all your hormones, so not just your testosterone, your estradiol. We look at FSH, LH. Ultimately, it does become just gibberish and letters on a page, but it gives a nice overview where we get a metabolic panel, we get a blood count. We have the option to add a lipid profile as well. And then, like I said, across the board, we look at all of your hormones. And definitely one of the most, preconceived notions we have of patients when they call, they say, well, I just got an annual from my primary care doctor, so let me get you those blood results so we don't have to draw blood today. And absolutely, we get them over, and I can't count once that we've seen everything that our panel includes, which there may be a very comprehensive look, but I think the assumption is that if you go for your annual, you're staying on top of it, and you haven't been told otherwise. And unfortunately, it's not something that's routinely checked.
Right.
And we will look at their labs that they bring in. We're happy to look at any information they can get.
How do you know what range to go by, though? Because, I've been to some doctor before, and like, this one's, there's such a wide range sometimes. And if it's on the low end, there's a reason. And sometimes there's an explanation. Well, if this is on the low end, this is why this is not right over here, too. But, so it's really a mixture of putting all these different levels together and coming up with a story, right?
Absolutely. It depends on which lab you use. But the labs actually base it on your decade of life. So that's why they want to know your date of birth. So for an average 40 to 49-year-old patient, this is the, quote, normal range. But that's where our interpretation actually kind of picks up, because we're looking for optimal levels, and that is dependent on the patient. There is no particular level that has been shown in every patient to make them feel good.
Right.
So that's why in the past, we would always gauge our therapies based on the patient's symptoms or lack thereof. And then what happened is over time, things changed to, this is, the range that's, quote, normal according to certain entities, essentially. Right. And those entities have a vested interest in creating these, quote, normal levels, because insurance has come about and said, well, we're not going to pay for therapy if it's out, or if it's within the normal level. Right. That we designate, but yet the patient's still telling us that they have symptoms. So that's why we need to intervene and say, hold on a minute, you know, this patient's telling me that they're still having symptoms, so obviously this isn't optimal for them.
Right. Are you guys seeing people maybe paying a little bit more attention to their health than they were 6 months ago among this COVID thing, where they don't want those underlying conditions and they just want to make sure they're doing all they can for their immune system as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. With everything per COVID. But I think on top of it, too, is what this has forced us to do is really slow down. And I think a lot of people started feeling what they probably have felt for years, but didn't have the time to sit back and really think, wow. Okay, I can't blame this on running my kids to school and work. Yeah. I'm sitting watching Netflix all day and I still feel this way. I think also I've heard it plays a part in really just being in tune with your own health and well-being right now is huge and absolutely important to pay attention for patients to advocate, because the more you can tell your practitioner, the more we can help.
Sure. Again, Dr. Melanie Bond is with us, and Caitlin Ornis. They are with 3 Aspens Regenerative Medicine, 6660 Timberline Road in Highlands Ranch, 303-683-4000. So let's kind of give an overall scope of everything you offer there. All right, so let's just kind of run through your menu of what you do.
I think our main thing is definitely the hormone optimization, and we use all bioidentical hormone replacement options, and we offer a wide range. We are affiliated with BioT hormone optimization, where it's in a form of a pellet, and it's just the route of administration. We also offer the traditional compounded prescriptions, your creams, your topicals, your orals. All the way up to there's peptide therapies in the same realm of letting your body regenerate themselves. Now, peptides is a fancy word for building blocks of other metabolic processes where amino acids build protein, protein builds dot, dot, dot. So there's a lot of wide range applications with those as well. Like Dr. Bond had mentioned, we also have some acellular and cellular products that are used autologously. Now that's a big fancy word from your own body. Right. So it's all encompassed with ultimately natural alternative options for patients. So I'm sure there are ones we will add down the line, but we really focus on these. We want to perfect these for our patients currently. And I mean, research is ever evolving. That's the beauty of this day and age, is everything's based on research. So currently everything that we offer right now has numerous studies, anecdotal reports, of course, and we have major universities jumping on these as well. So kind of all encompassed with that. We do have one side where we have one practitioner that is actually looking at a direct primary care model. Currently, for those that don't know, it's basically a concierge on-call physician. And the reason why we integrated that is so many people were so impressed by the amount of knowledge and the amount of options these providers have given our patients and the amount of time that there was just a need for it. So we're really excited about ramping that up as well. We actually have one of top docs that works at our clinic who's going to be accepting new patients currently. That's the beauty of that, is they are capped off at a certain amount where our provider will give sole attention to their patient base. So that's another exciting addition that we're adding, that will be integrating some of these different holistic, more natural kind of treatment options that we have for our patients.
Right. So Dr. Melanie, what would you say to people there are a lot of different clinics. Good night. I mean, there's so many options out there for people to go to. So yes. Why should people choose 3 Aspens?
Because at our clinic, you are the center of our attention, not some electronic medical record, not some administrative bureaucracy that's going to be telling us how to treat you and when to treat you and to let you get worse until your labs become abnormal, and then they'll treat you. I think that the fervor that both Dr. Rogg and I have for this field is unmatched. I know that we're both board certified in our own specialties, but this has created a fire like nothing else. And we're willing and ready to pass that on to our patients in the form of benefits.
Okay. And then what's kind of an initial consult? You know, somebody just hears us today and they go, you know, I don't know what's wrong. I just know I don't feel good and I want to come in. What's kind of an initial consult run?
Okay, so you're looking at, if you want to do a consultation with the physician, of course, and it will always be one of our physicians, and a medical records review where we gather everything together, we're looking at about $250 for that consultation. Now, this is, we block off more than enough time for everything to be reviewed and question and answer and really get a full grasp on your overall health. Now, the cool thing about the consult is any therapy you do choose to go with or any recommendations, we will credit that consultation fee towards any treatment you decide to proceed with.
Okay. So well, that's very fair. Yeah.
We definitely try to be fair about it, and not to mention, I mean, we know that a lot of our patients will come to us with health insurance benefits and wonder, well, why am I paying out of pocket if I have health insurance? So we try to keep that in mind with our patients.
So generally you're a cash pay kind of clinic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, are there sometimes ways to code some things where you can give them some paperwork where they're free to turn it into their insurance and get reimbursed? Or is that something you just try to stay cash pay and everybody, that's just the way it works?
Well, we definitely try to stay a cash pay, and more often than not, I'm more than willing to offer documentation to patients. Let's say for an HSA or FSA card, we do encourage, okay, might as well use up those hard-earned dollars towards your medical treatment. But more often than not, I am finding if patients are able to kind of pave their way through that nice tangled web of insurance reimbursement, more power to them. I will be there, their cheerleader. I will give them whatever paperwork, but more often than not, the system is designed for you to give up before you're successful that. Now, as far as HSA and FSA cards, absolutely the reimbursement, that's pretty easy for our patients. And again, we will provide whatever we need. But as far as some of the major ones, I definitely have been in the game long enough with medical management that I can kind of give them an idea. Well, you can try. I'm going to give you an example of X, Y, and Z why they'll deny. And a lot of the times patients really see the benefit of bypassing it. And really, when you analyze or you look at the cost difference between going through insurance and self-pay and premiums, I think people would be very surprised of what they're paying for premiums. No,
my wife just the other day, and we're about out of time here, but my wife the other day went to an MRI, and with her insurance, it was $849. Without insurance, it was $379.
Yes.
Bingo, and I can get her one for $250.
And I'm like, how does that work? And plus, you're paying $600-$700 a month for the premium.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. And it's been a hassle getting it approved, and finally did. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your insurance company? Deny Bronze Plan. That's who I got. Deny Bronze Plan. Because that's all they do is deny, deny, deny. All right. 3 Aspirins Regenerative Medicine. Just want to introduce them to you today. We will be doing some more shows with them in our next segment. Next show, we will be getting into some of the therapies a little bit more in detail. But just want to introduce you to Dr. Melanie Bond and Caitlin Ornis today. So, ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
3 Aspirins Regenerative Medicine, 6660 Timberline Road, Highlands Ranch, 303-683-4000. When you give them a call, let them know you heard them here on Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever, and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Hi, this is Scott Watley from my friends at Enchanted Kitchens. At Enchanted Kitchens, it's all about the magic of design. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen or building a custom home, Enchanted Kitchens offers a full-service design center with multiple product lines to meet any budget. And right now, when you mention Haystack Help Radio, you'll receive 15% off your Europa brand cabinets. And after you visit their Experience Center in Englewood, you'll get a no-cost, no-obligation in-home design consultation. Hey, after all, the kitchen is the heart of every home. Call Enchanted Kitchens today, 303-376-7588. That's 303-376-7588. Enchanted Kitchens is a member of the Haystack Help Home Team.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Watley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. Again, my name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Kevin is in studio as well. Flesh and Beck Law, their number 303-806-8886. Kevin, always great to have you in studio, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
All right. You know what? It is always good to have you. And I tell you, we were talking about this a little earlier here in a previous segment, but it has been strange times, and you know, but we are seeing more traffic on the roads, 100% more. I've noticed that, and they're seeing more accidents.
Yep, absolutely. They're up. And it's just a matter of time before people are going to be continuing to look for lawyers, and we're always available. So it's one of those things where there was several months where people weren't driving as much, but now it seems like the volume's certainly up, and people are acting like the roads were 3 months ago, and a lot of crazy driving out there. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, this morning, South I-25 was closed completely because of a bad accident. Yeah. And so it's unfortunate, but with the amount of volume that's out there, it's going to happen here or there.
Sure. Well, a few things we're going to talk about, and finishing up a previous segment, we were talking about preparing your case for trial while picking the right lawyer is important, and also maximizing your recovery. And, you know, all of this, Kevin, a lot of this starts at the very beginning. And, boy, there's just some crucial things I want to hit real quick. You know, once you're involved in an accident, number one, we've always said, you know, call the police.
Yep.
I mean, that's number one. And then seeking medical attention.
Yes, it's very important. So the police aspect, a lot of people are like, well, if you both have insurance, why is it important to have the police involved? And it's important because they will maybe get some additional information from people and be able to better corroborate what exactly happened in the accident. And it's always helpful. The insurance companies look at those police reports and the accident reports as really being beneficial for determination of liability. And if you don't have those things, then it's your word against the other driver's word. And it just sometimes makes the process more cumbersome. And it's always helpful to have a police officer on scene because generally people are more honest with them. And you make sure that you get the information that you need that's actual information. Most people don't tell police officers they have insurance. If they don't, and the officer will get the proof of insurance. Whereas if you're just trying to get that information from the person themselves, they may not as truthful as you'd like them to be.
And you've said this a lot of times. If the other driver is encouraging you not to call the police, all the more reason to call the
police. If they're willing to start handing you cash on the accident scene, that's exactly the reason that you need to have the police show up. So, but it's always helpful. I mean, keep yourself safe. You know, get off of the roadway if you can. But if it's a significant accident, there's significant damage to the vehicles, you don't want to move those vehicles. You want to be able to have the officer see what's going on. And I understand that people want to have concerns about leaving vehicles in roadways and that sort of thing. But it's always helpful because you're never going to be able to get that information again if you move from the accident scene and another driver takes off. I've got cases where a number of cases right now where that's happened. And so whatever you can do to keep that evidence as clean as possible early on, it's going to help you long term.
Right. And we're talking about this whole deal of, you know, preparing for trial in case your case has to do that, and then maximizing your recovery. And so with the police there too, hopefully they will get, you know, good witness statements.
Yeah.
And if the police aren't there yet and you've got people hanging around and you're okay to do this, I mean, could you even video them talking about
Absolutely.
What they saw? Is that good?
You know, that's a really good point, too. Yes, you can. In Colorado, the way it works relating to recording a conversation, you don't have to put the other party on notice of the recording as long as you're involved in the conversation. So if a person in the conversation is involved in the conversation, they never have to disclose that they're recording as long as you're not a lawyer or something else. Okay. So a regular old citizen that gets into a car accident and you just happen to either have your phone so that you're videoing it or you have your phone on so you're recording voices, as long as you're involved in that conversation by law, that recording will be admissible in court. The other thing that's happened over the last several months because of the all of the things that have gone on with the police brutality sort of conversation is all of the police departments soon will have body cameras that they'll be using all the time. And so whenever they interact with the public, they're going to be having a video evidence of their interactions. And so it's the same thing, that it's just going to be another reason why you're going to want to have the police show up, is because you're going to be able to get a good video of the officer talking to everybody at the scene. So even if, for example, you're taken away in an ambulance and you aren't on scene for those critical conversations, most likely we'll be able to get them from the reporting agency that shows up and does the accident investigation.
Right. And remember, you're also on the video.
Yes.
And what you say.
Very much so.
So
you've got to be really
aware.
Careful. Yep. And we talk about sort of in the next phase of moving these cases forward, doing a recorded statement with the insurance companies. It's going to be even more so true now when you're at the accident scene to be very careful about what you say about what took place. You certainly don't want to give the insurance company any opportunity to suggest that at the accident scene you took any responsibility for the accident and you're responsible for it. Because if you were to do that, it would certainly give them the opportunity to deny the claim on the basis that, oh, look, the person that was hurt even admitted at the scene that they were the ones at fault. Well, that's an automatic denial from the standpoint of liability determination.
Right. How much do pre-existing conditions come into play when, you know, people are involved in accidents?
So that's probably the first sort of defense that insurance adjusters and lawyers that represent insurance companies have in dealing with these cases. The first defense is we're just not liable. So you are equally or more at fault for the accident. The second defense that they generally will try to suggest is that you had this injury prior to the car accident or the slip and fall, and that your injuries are really related to that pre-existing issue, not an aggravation of it. And so it muddies the water. It gives them some opportunity to make arguments that lessen the value that you have in the case. And so in those situations where we have pre-existing conditions and we do have an aggravation, or we have a significantly more of an issue relating to that particular body part, one of the things that we recommend, as long as you're comfortable with the doctor that treated you before and thought that they did a good job of giving you good medical treatment and good sort of representation in what they did, is go back to that treating physician. Because those are the individuals, there's sort of two schools of thought about this. Some people think, oh, no, you want to go to a new one and you want to start fresh. But then it looks like you're doctor shopping, in my opinion. And I think it's much more credible to go back to the original doctor that you had
that
they can give us an opinion. Because what we'll do is we'll get what's called an apportionment letter down the road once you're done treating, where the doctor will be able to say to medical certainty about what percentage of the injuries were related to a pre-existing issue and what was related to the new aggravation and how much of the future treatment is going to be needed because of what's gone on from the car accident. And so that's generally really helpful mm-hmm. for us to get that information. And that really can only be done by a treating physician that saw you previously because they were hands-on. They're the most credible probably individuals that will be able to help us in that regard as long as they're willing to do it. Some doctors feel uncomfortable being involved in that sort of scenario and giving those sorts of opinions. So those are the sorts of conversations where you talk about seeing us early on in the process. If you have a significant neck injury or you've had surgery, you know, on your back years ago and all of a sudden you were good, you were asymptomatic, you really didn't have any issues, and then you get into a car accident and you've really got issues, mm-hmm. you're going to want to think about those issues early on with regard to pre-existing conditions so that we fashion your medical treatment so that it's the most credible way of doing it.
Right.
And if we can do that, then there really isn't much issue. I mean, we can't expect every person to be pristine, especially as you age, relating to degeneration of whatever.
Sure.
And so we always take that into consideration, and we always have to have those arguments with defense counsel about those sorts of issues in the sense that they always want to minimize those damages.
Right.
And so we just want to make sure that we have doctors in place, individuals who can give us testimony, because I can't manufacture those facts.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that a doctor or a treatment provider is going to have to provide us in the way of reports and then the willingness to testify at a later date.
Right. And we talked about, you know, early on, hey, calling the police and, you know, seeking medical attention. And what you have to know is usually 2 to 4 days, probably, Kevin, the other insurance is going to call you. And this is where I could see, you know, them saying, well, have you ever had, are you sore? And some right. most time we say no because it hadn't hit us yet.
Yeah.
And if you say, yeah, my neck's a little sore. Well, have you ever had neck problems before? Well, yeah, I had an accident, you know, 5 years. I mean,
right.
that's where you just start talking. And again, we're not talking about lying or misrepresenting something. We're just talking about there's a smart way to go about this.
There is. And there's the smart way to do disclosures that will be of most benefit to you. You don't want to, I always say this is sort of how you deal with insurance adjusters, is that you don't disclose information unless you're specifically asked it. And if you're specifically asked it, then you disclose it as honestly as possible and as succinctly as possible. You don't have to go into details that aren't asked of you. If they ask about a particular issue, sometimes, you know, people will get into, well, have you lost work? And my client will get into a whole diatribe about, you know, COVID and I've gone through this and that. And so they give 6 months of history where the claims adjuster is really only interested in the time period just after the accident and just before the accident, what your situation is with regard to your employment. And so folks that generally speaking, people who feel very much injured and put upon based upon the accident will embellish things that doesn't help them long term. And so I always have conversations with clients about, listen, if you're a talker, sometimes I have clients that just love to talk. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to manage it in the sense of, I normally say to the client, you have a tendency to give us a lot more detail than we really need. And in this particular case with these claims adjusters, sometimes when you give them more detail, then they'll go off on a tangent that's not of benefit to you. So let's play a little game in answering the questions and try to answer the questions with as few words as possible and keep track in your mind. And for some people, that's helpful because it really gets them to the point where they're going to give responses that are very responsive but not overly necessary information. And so we have that sort of preparation. But if we're not involved, I get these recorded statements of individuals when we weren't involved and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what were they? Were they on some sort of medication? I mean, because sometimes you wonder soon after the accident, mm-hmm. especially in those situations where the person is seriously injured, whether they're on medications or whether they should have been giving any sort of statement. And that's where we can help clients with the process. And because we get to schedule it, and so I'm there, or I have an associate there that does the recorded statement with you. We prep you beforehand, and then we have conversations before and after about how things went. And that, all of that is really, because it's a critical time in the process, because you're it's sort of like a job interview relating to your car accident, right, and trying to have the give the best opportunity for the claims adjusters to get a sense of who you are, mm-hmm, and to give you the best explanation of what took place.
All right. A couple weeks ago, you had a court date come up, and I had Joe Patton on, the Lone Tree physical therapy guy. I'm seeing for my knee after my knee replacement. We were brought up several things, and boy, just the things that we talk about. And he talked about, you know, low impact cases, yes, and how so many people, I mean, he said he's had people come in a few months later and they go, I didn't realize how hurt I was. And my car wasn't even damaged that much. And he said sometimes these are 15, 20 mile an hour deals.
Right. Yeah,
people especially got significant injuries.
Yep, and especially I see it especially with pickup trucks or SUVs with trailer hitches, where the other vehicle hits you hard, but for whatever reason, there's no real damage to your vehicle, or it doesn't seem like there is. But you've had a significant accident in the sense of the forces within the vehicle, and so many times those sorts of cases are really hard, especially in the case where the individual waits 2 months to go seek treatment, because it gives the insurance plenty of opportunity to say, well, there must have been something between this purported mm-hmm accident and your treatment, because why would you wait 60 days? Well, especially when we first had COVID, people couldn't get into a doctor. And so there was a real reason why they couldn't see a doctor, because right, there wasn't any ability to do it. Things have loosened up a little bit since then. So that we still have those issues, though, and it's always a really good defense for the insurance companies to say, well, if you don't treat right away, you must not be hurt. And that's not the case. I mean, there's lots of reasons why people don't treat right away. It just makes your case more difficult to pursue and get maximum recovery. And so that's why we're always talking about, and I'm sure he did, too. It's like, geez, just come in and see me. I mean, mm-hmm, in the case of medical providers, certainly if you have health insurance, or if you're wanting to do it on a lien, or if you're paying out of pocket, you're still going to be better off treating earlier than later, because the injuries won't be as set in. And so even if you're not making a claim with me, you're just better off getting treatment sooner than waiting 2 months and thinking it's going to go away, especially as you age. Anybody over the age of 35 or 40.
Sure.
And if you get, you know, 3 or 4 days down the road, you're going to want to go in and see somebody to make sure that you know what's going on and that you get some good treatment to figure it out. And generally it's, you know, your regular whiplash where you have $3,000 or $4,000 worth of damage to your vehicle, where you don't have the trailer hitch, where mm-hmm it was a 15, 20, 25 mile an hour collision with the person behind you hitting you while you're sitting in traffic. Those are cases where you're going to be doing 4, 6, 8 weeks of basic either physical therapy or chiropractic treatment to sort of get things back in alignment, because it's a significant force that's been entered against your body, and people don't recognize that sometimes.
Sure. And then he stressed so much, and again, these are things we've said many, many times through the years, finishing the treatment. Wait till I sign off and say, I've done everything I can for you.
Yeah.
And few people do that.
Yeah, very few. And you get that last 5 or 10% of the treatment where the treatment providers are, listen, you're over the hump, you're on your way down, but you still need some support in these last few times, because it'll save you time 6 months, a year from now, because if you complete it and we get you completely healthy versus 80%, something will happen a year from now, because you're still a little injured and you will react differently if you're completely healed. Mm-hmm. And so I always say to clients, the way I really like to see our clients work through these issues before we do a demand, let's say they get to a point where they followed our advice, they followed the treatment provider's advice, and they have completed 100% of the treatment. Then we wait another month just to make sure everything is okay before we start actually making demands. Because I've got a case right now where we made a demand, the fellow thought he was done, and while we're waiting for the demand to come back from the insurance company, he's had more issues and he went back for more injections. And so it just increases. I mean, I don't mind. But I wish we had, in that case, because he was in a hurry because of you know, the financial concerns about COVID and everything else, and he wanted us to get something put together and get it out to the insurance company right away. So we did it, mm-hmm. but while we're going through the process now, he's still treating. And so it's I'm not going to get a good response from the insurance company because I'm going to have to update records and I'm going to have to do another essentially amended demand in the next month or two to give them the full story. And so that's where we help people through, because most cases, people want to know when they come in the day after the accident how long this process is going to take and how much the case is worth.
Right.
Generally speaking, I can't really answer either one of those things, but I can give them guidelines like we talked about. And so with regard to the timing, you know, the state of Colorado, we have 3 years from the date of the accident to file suit on a car accident, 2 years on a premises liability claim. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. You are generally significantly injured if you're still treating 3 years after an accident.
Sure.
And so if you are, we file suit on your behalf, and then we deal with it. You know, we deal with what you're doing with regard to treatment and letting the trial court know and making sure that we set out deadlines as long as we can so that we get all of that treatment and all of the future treatment proven on your case. But generally speaking, I would say that's maybe 10% of the cases. The other 90% of the cases, you know, treatment's done within a year, year and a half, and we can get the case resolved within two. And that's what we're really hoping for. But at the same time, I don't mind waiting. I'm not in a rush mm-hmm. to make sure that your case is fully developed before we complete it.
Right. Social media has been a wonderful thing, but a lot of times in these cases, it can hurt you when you say your neck is hurt or back yeah. is hurt, and then you show your weekend horseback riding trip with the family.
That's right.
Or, so you just got to be careful.
You do. You really have to be careful. Or I had a case a few years ago where a client said she was really injured, could barely walk, and then they had video of her at a wedding, you know, a family wedding where she's out dancing and that sort of thing. And so it calls into question your credibility. When I first started practicing law, it was pretty interesting. The insurance companies used to send out private investigators to sort of do some recon. And maybe videotape people doing things that they thought they shouldn't be able to do it in those cases where they thought there was some insurance fraud or fabrication going on. Now everybody has a video camera on their phone and all of the social media. So if they can do a search, a lot of times you got to remember that anything out on the web that's public will be right. found by the insurance companies and their folks. So you've got to think about that when being involved in any sort of event and make sure that if you're making a claim that you're unable to do certain things, make sure that you don't have it on social media anywhere to disprove how you're feeling about things. And I never like to hear about those things because I don't, and a lot of times they're not that people are doing things fraudulent.
Right.
It's just the heat of the moment, and you kind of take it out of the context of what's going on a lot of times.
Sure.
It still doesn't make you look very good, and it reduces the value of your case, and that's what I don't want to have happen.
Absolutely. All right, get back in the courtroom here a little bit. We always hear the term of expert witnesses. Sometimes you may have to call an expert
yep.
witness. So talk about that process and then, you know, how you go about choosing them and then how does that affect the case?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the sense of a car accident, all of your treating physicians, generally speaking, are going to be expert witnesses. Treating physicians that are giving opinions about future care, about what exactly that was done for you medically, and giving opinions that are specialized information relating to the medical field almost always are experts. There's two types of experts. One would be a retained expert, so a person that you hire specifically for your case. The other one is a non-retained expert, and that's where a lot of times treating physicians come into play, both of which have to be disclosed, and both of which have to be disclosed all of their opinions that they're going to give, all the background of how those opinions came to be, and then where they've testified before, their CV, all of their credentials, everything that is going to be necessary to basically create a foundation for them to testify in a particular area of expertise. In the sense of trial, those experts have to be disclosed generally, I'm saying generally a lot today, because I think that it's important to understand that right. there are differences in different sorts of cases, but In almost all cases, you have to disclose those experts, those individuals that are going to testify on your behalf in that capacity, 120 days prior to trial, so 4 months prior to your trial. And if you don't, the court can just completely strike any testimony that they would have as not being properly disclosed. Well, if a person that doesn't understand the rules of civil procedure don't disclose them properly with the CV and all of the other things, and they're your lead witness for your injuries, it can be really problematic. The other thing that can happen is, depending upon the expertise that you're going to have the witness testify about, there may be an objection on the other side, sort of a, what's called a Shrek objection, which basically says that their opinions don't have a good foundation either in fact or in scientific scrutiny. Mm-hmm. So if, for example, we see this coming up a fair amount these days in criminal cases where the district attorneys are trying to have police officers testify about roadsides and that they're some sort of expert opinion relating to them. The same is true in the sense of civil cases where it's maybe a creative way of raising some sort of injury that really doesn't have any foundation for it. And so those things need to be properly disclosed, and you have to be ready for those individuals to say that they can't testify as an expert and have a court make a decision about it. Mm-hmm. You see it a lot in car accident cases where you have a doctor talking about causation, that the accident caused an injury. And if they don't have the right expertise in biomechanicals, for example, they may not be able to testify about those things. So those are, again, things that we're really good at understanding, so that when the client comes in and we think we have to make sure that we understand that this injury was caused by the accident and we'll need somebody to testify about that, we may have to go retain somebody that has that expertise so that we understand, because if that's a really important piece to the case, you want to have that expert retained early on.
Gotcha. Yep. Then the prosecution, you have to let them know of any witnesses you're bringing in. Yep. Like that. They have to let you know.
Correct.
Any yep. things. So
all of those things. And in the civil cases, it's generally many months in advance of a trial. You can't just show up 2 weeks before a trial and disclose all of these things and expect that you'll be able to get all those witnesses in.
Okay, good. What is a statutory offer?
Yeah, statutory offer is an offer that the defense normally makes that they think you will either not beat at trial. So an example is you go to mediation. You think the case is worth $60,000 at trial. The defense thinks that it's worth $5,000 at trial. You can't get the case resolved at mediation. So then they give you a statutory offer of that $5,000. And they're basically saying to you, all right, let's go to trial. Let's see if you can beat our $5,000 offer. If you don't beat their offer of $5,000, you have to pay all of the defense costs of whatever you get. And you don't get certain other things relating to interest and things like that. And so it puts additional pressure on the plaintiff when they go to trial. Where we normally see it is where it's an issue of liability, or there's an issue relating to causation of the injuries from the accident, and where the insurance company is really saying to plaintiff and plaintiff's counsel, we think you're going to have a hard time at trial, and you should take what we're giving you. And if you don't, then there's some real risk that you have. Because most plaintiffs don't really realize that if you lose a trial, a lot of times the defense has the right to be paid all of their costs.
Right.
And the statutory offer is sort of one part of that ability for the defense to really make sure that the pressure is put on you just before trial. And so they're a tool by the defense to make plaintiffs settle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, folks, once again, we've tried to cover this in our short time about preparing your case for trial, picking the right attorney, why it's so important so we can maximize your recovery. It all starts with a free consultation with Kevin, 303-806-8886, fleschlawfirm.com. That's FLESCHlawfirm.com. So give Kevin a call, and he will be glad to help you out in person, or, hey, get on that virtual conference as well, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today for Legal Talk. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Don't go anywhere. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.